welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right. Now, last week, quick recap. This is for you guys over there, you short ones. Oh, yeah, children, that's what you're called. Okay. And for those who weren't here, actually, this will be useful too. God spoke to me. He gave me a verse, and it was 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Directly translated from the Greek, taking an English word and putting it in place of the Greek word, that passage can be translated, or part of it, as "door for me opened, great and effective." Sounds like a telegram. And I tell you what, it is an old-fashioned telegram sent to you from God. Door opened for you. Amen. Okay? Great and effective. Yeah. It's economical on words, but it's for you. And there were some key words in there. And what's going to happen in a minute, several minutes, is when we pray, this is the anointing that God's going to release. So it's important we understand these words. Even if we can't remember the Greek, we can remember the English of them. Because this is what you're going to be walking in. And walking in means putting into practice. It means this is how I'm going to use it to pray. This is what I'm going to do with it. So the first word there that I'm going to touch on anyway, is that word great. A door open for me, or a wide open door, megas. I was very impressed with Shona when she could remember all three of them in the middle of the week when I met her. And I thought that was very impressive. But megas, it's probably the easy one. It's where we get mega from. Oh, that's mega. That's brilliant. Or mega meaning big. And that's exactly what the Greek word means. Big, great, wide, huge. This is big. And I mean big. When used of someone's mind, it talks about that they're so full of joy and ecstasy, and you know, they're just so happy and so excited if they got a mega mind. But excitement, admiration, something that's completely wonderful. And it can also be used of those who are in great power or have great authority, and that would be you. All right, we're mega or megas. Strictly speaking. Right, and the next word, you got that one? What is it? No, oh, sorry, yeah, you were too quick for me. I meant the old one, yes, you were right. The first word was?
Megas.
I'm just going to check this lot over here. The first word was?
Megas.
Megas, well done. What was it? Megas. Megas. Mega. You can remember that one. Just nod, Jason. That's it, yeah. He's sleeping with his eyes open. Right. The next word is energeis. Yeah, I know the Greek letters are a little odd. You're probably not going to remember them either. But energeis. And that means active, effective, powerful, engaged in work that's making a difference. Changing things. You're getting a picture of what this anointing's doing. It's mega. It's huge. It's great. It's changing things. It's powerful. It's the power to see change. And the last word was anoigo. All right, so the first word, mega or great. The second word, energeis or effective. The third word is anoigo, which is simply, on one level, open. All right, but the word, if you look at the word, it actually means a little bit more. It means what was closed is now open. And that's why it's an exciting word for God to speak over us. It can be spoken of a book or your mouth or your mind or people that can't speak or of the eyes. But it means a change has come. Those that couldn't see can now see. Those that couldn't speak can now speak. Those who didn't have the capacity to speak now know what words to say. It also is spoken of when God talks of an open heaven. This is the word, anoigo. So this word that is mega and effective speaks of an open heaven. What does an open heaven mean? It means what is in heaven happens here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It's when heaven invades earth. So this anointing that was being released upon us soon is a heavenly anointing releasing it. All right? All right, I'm going to send the kids out. Here's the verse, though, in the NIV, just before you go. For I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. That's it, that'll do. For a wide door for effective work has opened to me. Paul's talking about people hearing the gospel and getting saved. Right, J24/7, you can go. Nikki's going to test you when you get upstairs on what you've remembered. Right. Last week we looked at some of the other translations, and they're pretty good too. You've got a huge door of opportunity for good work has opened up here. This is the anointing. A huge door of opportunity has opened up for us here. God didn't give us this building for this small group to be here each week. All right? There's so much more that he wants to see happen in people's lives so that there's a transformation. Addictions broken. So that people aren't held and trapped by them. Addictions to drugs, to alcohol, addictions to pornography, broken so that people can live as God has called them to live. So many people want a meaning or a purpose or a searching. Some people look to astrology to read it up and sort of say, well, what's going to happen to me? Where am I going? What's going on? You know, what sign am I born under? But when you become a Christian, you're born under the sign of a cross that says, that doesn't say this is what you've got to do, this is how it's going to happen. It says you have been set free to be who you were created to be in the first place. And nobody can write a little paragraph about what's going to happen to you because you've got complete freedom in God to follow his purposes and his plans and his destiny. You know, and his plans and his purpose and his destiny, they aren't some narrow line. There's choice, and God can take you this way and this way, and he says, what do you want? He says, ask of me, and I'll give it to you. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. That doesn't speak to me of you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. I will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, it's freedom. It's a wide open door of opportunity. In the New Living, it says, for there's a wide open door for a great work here, and many, I like this bit, and many people are responding. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who are you going to bring next week? Which friend, which family member, which neighbor, who are you going to ask this week to come to church next week? Because that's how it grows. Yeah, some people say, oh, I don't know if I can share the gospel. Well, you can, because Jesus will give you every word in the right situation. But also, it's just a question of asking sometimes to church. Anybody can invite someone. Come and, especially at the moment, it's extra easy. Come and see the new place. Yeah? Right. Well, what does it look like, this wide open door? I'm going to read to you. Now, that scripture starts with while I was in Ephesus. The excitement with that is that we were looking at the series Handpicked for Glory, which is all based on the first chapter in Ephesians. So it's like God is confirming everything that's happened. But that whole series, I started it with reading to you from Acts 19, which was Paul's actual stay in Ephesus. Find a light. There we go. This is what the open door looks like, and this is what God has been promising us all the way through Handpicked for Glory. Acts 19, verse 11. God worked amazing miracles through Paul. That would be enough, wouldn't it? God worked amazing miracles. Okay, I get a personal extra, but you know, you get it too. God worked amazing miracles through Paul. When handkerchiefs or cloths that he had touched were laid on the sick, they were healed of their diseases and set free from demonic oppression. That's what it's about. That's the open door. Amazing miracles. Special, extraordinary, that word means. You know, when James Maloney is here, he talks about special. Special miracles. He's not joking, he's being serious. It's here in the Bible, and he saw 4 years ago prophetically that we would see special miracles. Now, he's had, I don't know whether he said it publicly or not, but he certainly said in the times that he's had with me, is he believes that here in Scarborough, we're going to see some particularly special, extraordinary miracles. This is what he said before I got this word ages ago, that will provide a wide open door. Okay? So let's be expectant. of the extraordinary miracles. Not just the ordinary ones. A few ordinary ones will be okay, won't it? They were healed of their diseases and set free from demonic oppression. Wow. Now, if you go back to just before that, and look at the verses just before, because then what I did was I looked at those words and looked them up in other places, those words that I was just telling you about, energes, anoigo, and one other, the door word, because the door interested me. Thura is in Greek, if you want to know. Also means, if you're into sci-fi, a portal or an entrance. So God has provided a wide open portal. I quite like that. In a lot of sci-fi, Star Trek and other things, the portal leads you into another dimension, leads you into something completely different to what you've known before. I think we have a wide open portal God is taking us through. It's almost like going through into another dimension of something that we've not known before. Yeah? Something where miracles are happening much more regularly. This is what this anointing is about that's been released upon us this morning. All right? I'm going to lay hands on you, but I'm just like the watering can. That's getting a constant sort of hose in the top and then sprinkling it over you. I'm just, be watered, be watered, be watered. That's all. That's just my job, to be the gardener today. But it's coming from God. It's the water that's not important, not the watering can. Although you want one that's not all clogged up. So by the grace of God, I'm not all clogged up, and you're going to get a right sprinkling. In fact, I think I'll take that little thingy off the end, the rose, throw that away, and you can just get soaked. In fact, I'll just use the hose pipe. Right. So he's in that in those verses here. I just like the fact that it says Paul spoke boldly in the synagogue for 3 months, arguing persuasively about God's kingdom. Do you know I spoke for just on 3 months on Handpicked for Glory? I just like these little things. I mean, you can say that's nothing, or you can say that's everything. For me, I think it's just a big hint from God. But some of the Jews obstinately refused to believe and openly insulted the other way. So together with those who had become disciples, Paul left the synagogue, we didn't really do that, and began daily meetings. And they continued to meet there for 2 years. We were getting on for 2 years at the SJT. And after that period of time, there was this open door and all these things happening. All right, let's look up. You can look these up or you can just listen if you like. I'm just going to give you some scriptures. I've got 1, 2, 3. And then we're going to pray. See, I am going to be quick. The notices were longer at this rate. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 12. I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened up a door for me. So the Ephesians thing wasn't just a one in a million, and it just happened once in that place. When he went somewhere else, the door was opened up for him. And I think we found that when we came to Scarborough, the Lord had opened up a door for us. Although, of course, Paul didn't sit round in the synagogue saying, well, where's this door then, Lord? I'm waiting for you to act, Lord. Come on, Lord, do something. He was out talking to people, preaching the gospel, sharing it with people that he met on one-to-one. He was active. When the Lord opens a door, you've got to go through it. There's an activity involved. When the portal opens, when the wormhole is revealed, if you want the new dimension, you've got to go through. Otherwise, it's just something you can sit back and look at. You can, over last week and this week, you can listen to the word that was spoken and you can think, wow, that's a good word, that's exciting. And nothing, even when we pray for you, will change in your life whatsoever unless you go through. And going through means you do something about it. You talk to people. All right? Here's Colossians 4, verse 3. And pray for us too, this is Paul speaking, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. So he's in another place and he's not seeing the breakthrough yet. So he's saying, well, pray for an open door for our message. Now, what's the open door for? So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should. You have to be wise in the way you behave towards unbelievers and make the most of every opportunity you have to share the gospel with them. You will need to be gracious in the way you speak and able to answer the questions asked of you. Your words can come as salt to bring seasoning into tasteless lives. That's almost like there in Colossians 4, verse 3. Yes, the first bit was from the NIV, the second bit was from the Truths. That's just the way I wrote it down. It's like an outline of a plan of what it means to walk through the door. One, keep praying for the door to be open. Keep praying for more open doors. Although this is a very specific portal, if you like, moment in time for us. So keep praying, but also pray that the door is opened up in people's lives to the message. What's the message? The mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? Well, actually, it's no longer a mystery to us. It's the message that he died for us, that we're forgiven, and that he has risen again so that we can have the power to live risen again lives with him. That's basically the message, that you can be forgiven, that you can be set free, that you can be healed, that there is a Lord that you can bow down to. That's the message. But it's interesting in what he says then. Pray that I should proclaim it as clearly as I should. So we've got to pray that our message comes across clearly. But then this last bit, I thought, yeah, I really see this. That's great. You have to be wise in the way you behave towards unbelievers. In fact, to believers as well, if we're honest. And make the most of every opportunity you have to share the gospel with them. So that's good. So you're going to use every opportunity you get to be able to speak the good news. Okay, but you have to be gracious in the way you speak. It's no good going in it, I'm going to win this argument. It's no good going into it even with an attitude of I'm right and you're wrong, even though you might believe, and I do believe I know the truth. But if you just go in with an attitude of I've got everything sussed, you haven't, that's not grace. We need to respect where people are at. They might be pagan, they might be Buddhist, they might have no belief whatsoever. They might be a complete agnostic. They might be a hardline atheist. But you have to respect their point of view and where they've come to it. Doesn't mean you don't challenge it. Doesn't mean you don't try and persuade them. You certainly do. But you don't disrespect them or just make fun of what they believe. That's not what we're called to do. That's not love. We're called to respect other people, honor other people. Yeah? We're on this planet at this time with those people by plan. That person that annoys you is there by plan, and it's you that's got to change. Now, God might need to do a work in them as well, but that you need to change. If you find yourself getting into conflict with people or causing arguments or strong feelings, it's probably you've got to change. Well, it is you that's got to change. Let's face it. Yeah, we need to be gracious. We bring a freshness. We bring a sweet perfume. Not a sort of a smashing up the place because I've got the truth. I've got the truth. You're a sinner. You're going to hell and you're going to hell permanently. You've got no hope unless you repent right now and become gracious and loving like me. You need to have joy in your life like what I've got. I'm so happy now Jesus has saved me. But you're going to hell because you don't know him yet. Now, that doesn't sound very gracious. It might be sort of true. There was some truth in there. But we need to be gracious in the way we share it. Doesn't mean we don't say what the truth is. But we respect people. We've got to be gracious, not causing conflict. Too many Christians cause conflict. I hate the forums on a lot of the internet pages where Christians get involved and they start slagging people off and coming, what do they think they're doing? Where's gracious or grace in that? We're supposed to be salt, not causing high blood pressure, but making things taste better. Sometimes too many Christians cause other people to get high blood pressure rather than making something taste better. They've forgotten what kind of salt we are. We're healthy salt, if such a thing exists. Well, you're supposed to have some, I suppose. Revelation 3, verse 8, the last one. Behold, I have put before you an open door that no one, or nothing, can shut. And the next little bit is very interesting. Because most people know that bit. because you have a little power. The promise, this promise is being spoken over a church. It's being spoken over us because it's part of the open door. I've put before you an open door that no one or nothing can shut because you have a little power. Dynamis is the word. Dynamite, we get our word from. You've got a little bit of power. I think we've got a little bit of power. We experience the anointing of God. We see healings. We see people's lives changed. We have peak times when there's loads of stuff happening and not such peak times when there's not such stuff happening. God says, because you've remained faithful in the times of little power, I'm going to open the door for you. It's not just the little power that the reason the door is open. He actually says more. You have a I'll put before you an open door. Notice the door is before you. He hasn't pushed you through it. It can remain before you for the rest of your life and you'll miss it. I've put before you an open door that no one can shut because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. And by the grace of God, we've stuck to his word and we've not denied the name of Jesus. And because of that, the Lord is now releasing us to another level of anointing where we can be more effective. In fact, it's called a mega energes anoigo anointing. A wide open, effective anointing. Ooh. Are you feeling expectant now? I certainly am. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. I've preached the word. I think that was about 20 minutes, maybe 25. That's quick for me. Now, we're going to pray. Let's have the worship team up. You can put Bibles and iPads and paraphernalia down. Let's just focus on the Lord with a song of worship first. Now, if you need to go at any point, that's absolutely fine, by the way. Because, although I don't think we're going to be ever so late. But also, we're not just going to shut up and leave you, so. Although I do fancy the beach and a swim later. Well, maybe not a swim, maybe a paddle. It's going to be in the high 20s today.
Yes.
It's going to be hotter in here. Well, apart from the aircon. Hallelujah. When we do come forward, we'll line up along the front. It'd be good if we sort of line up roughly along here, parallel with that doorpost almost, so that there's space. We can go all the way around the church. We don't have to just be here. Hallelujah. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.